Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 97 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is a proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, today we're going to talk to a trio of CIML activities directors to get their take on how things are going this summer with the baseball and softball seasons in this COVID-19 world we're living in right now. And we'll also look ahead to what some of the plans are for the fall. In a little while, we'll be visiting with both of the Ankeny and Centennial ADs, possibly at the same time if we can get them in here at the same time. But otherwise, I'll be talking to them separately. Right now, I want to bring in my first guest. He is currently the Activities Director at Valley High School. But he's been around the CIML for quite a while, and he spent some time in Ankeny as the Hawks head baseball coach from 2001 to 03. So we're going to reminisce with him a little bit about those years. He's Brad Rose. Brad, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Hey, Dan. Thanks. Awesome. I'm happy to be here.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we talk about, you know, what's going on now with your current job, you know, let's talk a little about your past as a baseball coach. I did remember that you came to Ankeny from Ottumwa, but until I looked up some information on you to prepare for this, you know, I'd forgotten that you had won two state titles in your 6 years as the Bulldogs coach. You know, so let's start there. You must have had some studs down there.
I did. I was coaching JV baseball and about every sport you could coach in Fairfield, and I had competed against Ottumwa, and I played Legion ball in Ottumwa as a kid. I knew they had good baseball there, and I had an opportunity to go teach at an alternative high school and be a ninth grade football coach, head baseball. And when I got there, in 95, we had a good team and got beat in the sub-state final at Burlington. And then the next 2 years, I had a really good group of seniors in 96. Mike Egbert, who's down at Ottumwa now, is an AD and administrator down there. He played shortstop. And I had Jim McGrain, who pitched 11 years in the minor leagues. He, ironically, the first game of the year, his senior year, his junior year, he had 13 home runs for us. And he's the nephew of McGrain that pitched down at for the Cardinals, McGrain. Mm-hmm. Not nephew, cousin. But anyway, he breaks his rib. He had been a tight end in football and played basketball, and he had a stress fracture in one of his ribs and didn't know it. He broke it hitting a home run at Johnston. So we didn't have him the whole summer. But then right before districts, we rode bikes with him every day, and we had him on a running program when he was allowed to. You know, he's drafted out of high school, and he was going to the University of Iowa, and they were worried about it puncturing a lung, so we had to be really careful with him. But anyway, he came back, and we got by Cedar Rapids Jefferson team in the first round, and then Davenport West. And then we beat Sioux City East in the final, and Jim threw that game and threw a complete game, one hitter, and that's still he's one of like three people to throw one hitter in the state tournament. Beat a really good Sioux City East team. Then the next year, had all new kids except for one kid, and we rolled the dice, and all those kids really performed well, and we got on a roll and played Sioux City East in the final that year too. And beat them like 8-4. And next year, probably had our best team ever, and we're 36-5, and we got upset in the sub-state by Des Moines East by a really good pitcher that we had faced early in the year, and that's baseball. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, that was had really good kids. I could name a ton of kids, Jeremy Weller, Zach Mann, a lot of kids. That what's interesting is last 2 weekends ago, I was up here at Ankeny coaching my son in a 14U tournament out at the Prairie View Fields, which I remember as the head coach here. I was so happy when they built those because we could move. I talked them into letting me play ninth grade A games on one field and B games because we had so many kids out for Ankeny baseball. We had like 65 kids. I was like, man, I got to find games for these guys. And the Little League here was awesome. They allowed those kids to take a month off basically and play high school baseball during that month. But anyway, I was out there, and two kids that I coached on that 96 team, their sons were up here playing and they found us, came over to our field, and I got to watch their 10-year-old sons play.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of like being a grandpa, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I get to live by, you know, live through all those kids that I've used to coach and their kids growing up. So, those were good days. We had, and Ottumwa had really good football at that time too. Tom Kapadich had really put together some really good football teams. We got beat by Iowa City West and Tim DeWight, or Iowa City High and Tim DeWight, Rob Tyne, some of those really good teams they had. That won state titles, we just got beat like 21-7 and really good games. We just couldn't quite get over the hump. But those were good days in Ottumwa. We had a lot of good athletes.
Well, so after the success that you had there, you know, what attracted you to the Ankeny position?
Well, Rick Powell was the AD, and I coached against him when he was at East. And the Ankeny job, you know, Mel Merkin was a legend. I remember him when I first started like, I was ninth grade coach at like Lincoln, and I came over and met Mel Merkin and listened to some of his camps, and I just knew anchoring was a great job. But when I came up here and interviewed, I went out to Prairie Ridge, and I was like, well, how many, you know, I saw this beautiful complex, and they were just building. I was like, well, how many kids do you have in Little League? And they're like, 2,000. I'm like, well, I'd be able to find 9 baseball players out of 2,000 kids, you know. And the schools were just so nice, and I was ready for a change. I was single, had never been married, and just was looking for a change in my life down there. And I probably could have stayed in Atumal forever. That Atumal was a great place for me. They were good to me. The support there with the businesses and the field, it's sort of a historic field, but I just really, I saw the changes coming in Ankeny. I saw just a tremendous amount of athletes they had here and the support they had from families. I mean, when I taught at Parkview Elementary, or actually middle school, 6th and 7th grade building, I still tell people to this day, every kid, 95% of the kids had an Ankeny shirt on of some type. I mean, it didn't matter if it was soccer, if it was maroon, or if it was gold or gray or white. They were wearing something related to Ankeny activities of some kind. And when I interviewed, I just fell in love with the facilities. And they didn't, Mel was obviously a Hall of Fame coach, but they hadn't won a lot. They were about 500, and I ended up only being 500 as a coach here, but I had some really good kids coming, and we kind of got it turned around, and it was never really bad, of course, because Mel obviously won a lot, but there was a lull there where a couple of kids, and I coached football, really enjoyed coaching football, and I coached 8th grade basketball here too. And that allowed me to get to meet the kids. But I feel like we did a good job of making sure we didn't have kids specialized. You know, the kids like Spooner and Jeff Lanning and all those kids that we had that were multi-sport kids that could, you know, and Aaron Jarosh was a state champ long jumper. Lanning had been on the 4x4 team, started in football as a sophomore. I mean, Spooner won the state title in wrestling and was a shot putter. So we'd, you know, the track coaches at that time were, I think, a little nervous that this new baseball coach, and I was like, no, you go to track practice and you come over to the baseball diamond afterwards, get some hitting and some throwing in, and we'll be fine. And I really enjoyed that, the camaraderie of the Ankeny coaches and how they, you know, really supported each other. That was
sure.
Really good. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was just going to ask you about, you know, your record here. If my math is right, I think you did go 59 and 59 in those 3 seasons, you know, right at 500. Probably not the kind of market you were hoping to have, but, you know, what do you remember most about those seasons? Is there anything that sticks out?
Well, I told people this story the other day. I said, you know, one of my favorite teams was that first team. Andrew Farmer had some really good kids, but I got here and Andrew Farmer was the hardest thrower at like 84, you know, and I had these kids, you know, we'd throwing with. So we went through like a couple, you know, those first 2 seasons where we maybe only like 14 and 25, but that last year I had, we upset Dallin in the sub-state, or in the second round, and then went on to get beat by the Urbandale team that won it. But we had all nine stars were coming back, and I knew we were going to be really good, and I had a situation where I had an opportunity to leave to go to Fairfield. It was hard. I still wonder to this day, you know, how many – because I knew Mark High was going to – you know, I was hoping he'd get the job, and he did. And when I first came in, Mark was awesome. He'd worked for Mel Merkin, and then, you know, I came in. I think he won, you know, obviously won that job too, but he was just such a gentleman and good coach. And so I kind of told him, you know, this is kind of like I'm the guy that has to make the decisions, but let's kind of do this as a co-head coach situation. You take pitching, and we worked on stuff, you know, and then we would argue in a fun way about, of course, he's a Cubs fan, I'm a Cardinals fan, so we naturally argued anyway, you know, but we'd argue about calling pitches and stuff. And then, just really, we really had a lot of fun. I mean, I think we really made baseball, I hope so. I hope those kids all felt like we made baseball fun. And the winning just kind of came along with it. And then Mark took them to another level and got the state title that they've been wanting in second place the year before that. And just Ankeny's now. And I knew this would happen when they split. I said, you're going to be fine. In certain sports, you're going to be fine. And I think baseball is really obvious, and softball as well. You see both schools are competing at a very high level this summer in both, and they have the last 5 or 6 summers, you know. So.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you mentioned that you left Ankeny to become the AD at Fairfield, and that's your hometown, right?
Correct.
So, I mean, was that the appeal in that job, to go back to your home?
Yeah. It was an opportunity. When I was here, I was also coaching, believe it or not, at Simpson. I was driving down after school and helping out down there with Coach Sirianni, where I had played. And I just kind of probably wore myself out a little bit. And I kind of was looking for, you know, just a little something different. And my hometown came calling and said, hey, we have this AD job open. And I thought, you know, I know it sounds crazy, but if you're a single teacher trying to live in the suburbs by yourself and own a house, it can be a little challenging mm-hmm. financially. And but I was happy here. I lived out south of town in Crocker Township before all the new houses were built out there now. I kind of felt like a farmer out there, mm-hmm. you know. But, yeah, I go back to my hometown. I grew up a Fairfield Trojan and played all the sports, and I was in activities and stuff. And so that was really a good opportunity for me, too. I can't say that I've really been really lucky. I've had a great experience everywhere I've gone. People have welcomed me. I still, when the Hawks come over, I still tell them that I'm because once a Hawk, always a Hawk was something that I learned very early sure. when I came here. And I also didn't realize how important it was to play Urbandale, you know. I was like, man, we really build up these games with, but there were some serious rivalries here, you know, and I was more worried about trying to win the last game of the year, mm-hmm. you know, state title. And which I'm not saying is right or wrong. I'm just saying that I had to really embrace, oh, okay, there's a little something special going on. We really want to beat her, you know, and then, oh, by the way, we're playing Southeast Polk tomorrow. We really want to beat, you know, there's two schools that I remember sticking out that, hey, we need to, you know, when I interview people, I'll say to them, a good question they'll ask me is, who do I need to beat? I'm like, well, you know, if you're going to be at Valley, you better be competitive against Dowling, you know. And so I think when you came to Ankeny, you had to realize you need to be competitive against in certain sports, but especially Urbandale and Sally Spoke back then.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, was that always your plan, though, to get into administration, or did that just sort of happen?
Absolutely not. I had gotten my master's to do that, but I really thought I would coach forever. I started having a lot of beliefs or started having a lot of opinions about the way things should be done and, you know, how we should develop programs. And I realized that, you know, instead of talking about it, I need to go do that. And Fairfield was going through some transition, and, you know, the superintendent down there got a hold of me, and I had known him and worked for him he was a principal. And so I was attracted to that, to the leadership part of it, to come be a leader and try to, when I was going to school in Fairfield, not because of me, a lot of great athletes, the businesses were really going, and Fairfield was like the sixth or seventh largest 3A school. In fact, we played in the large school in wrestling and basketball. You know, we had to play Burlington to go to state and Iowa City and those schools. Now you'd think, what, Fairfield's playing them? Yeah. And Tumwa was in our league, and those were bigger schools. And in my high school career, I think we won like all but two conference championships every sport.
Wow.
All but two. And girls and boys. And our girls won the state title back when the Hawkettes were the team to play. I'm sure Rass and those and Dan Breen, our coach back in those days, played each other because Fairfield finished in, the girls team when I was in high school finished in the top four all 4 years I was in high school. I mean, they were good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
We'd go 18-3 and people didn't even know who we were because the girls went 29-0, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I would caution people going back to their hometown to take over. It's a little more challenging than you might think. Sometimes it seems like a natural fit, but you also have to kind of be able to talk people into changing because things aren't going well. It's just like in sports now, you know, you can't just keep doing the same thing and just hope for better athletes to show up. You got to go and, you know, affect people and get your hands on people and talk and get things to change, you know.
Sure.
If you really want to change.
Well, then you left Fairfield to take the Valley job in 2009. You've been there ever since. You know, that's obviously a destination job for a lot of high school ADs and coaches. You know, can you see yourself staying there the rest of your career?
Yeah, yeah. It's an awesome place to be. There's challenges there. But I took on a harder job by coming there. I had a good job in Fairfield, pretty comfortable job. But I talked to my wife. I said, you know, if my mom is remarried and lives up in by Leech Lake, a little south of Leech Lake, about 7 or 8 months, then comes home during the cold time, lives out here, you know, over in Altoona. And my sister lives over there. But my wife and I talked about the competition every day. If we could get back to Des Moines area, I'd like to do that. I actually looked at the Southeast Polk job And Kent Hortzman got that. And so, you know, when things don't go your way, other doors open up. Well, then the Valley job opened up. Steve Duncan was leaving. I was on a committee with him working for on the board of the Iowa High School Athletic Directors. And he said, hey, you should apply for this job. So I did, and it worked out. And that was a big leap. But we were – now my kids are ingrained in it. You know, they were 3 and 1 when I moved there. Now they're 15 and 12, and they're ready. My son's going to start high school, you know, and he's ready to be a Tiger, you know. So it's kind of fun seeing that, you know.
Sure. Well, you've been in administration now for nearly 2 decades. You know, do you ever miss the coaching part of it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I miss it every day. But I get a little bit of a fix because I coach a 12U softball team, my daughter's team, and I coach a 14U baseball team, my son's team. So Des Moines Cubs, we got kids from all over. I had a couple of Ankeny kids. You know, I had because when we started, there was no real feeder program to Valley. So Jim Nahas and a couple of us that knew each other just kind of started some baseball. So I got some Dowling kids, Valley kids, some Ankeny kids, all in those teams. The softball team is all Valley kids. It's a feeder program. So, but I do miss, you know, I go to games like last night. We had a big game with Urbandale, and, you know, it's hard not to think about what would I do. And, but my goal is not to judge what our coaches are doing. It's just, it's hard in baseball not to think, okay, what would I do here?
You know? Sure.
But it's been interesting. I've learned a lot watching Tom Bakey and the rest of the league coach. You know, I've learned a lot about softball and how I would coach it. I just assumed I would coach it the same as baseball. It's not quite the same.
No, for sure.
There's things you got to do different, and getting that one run lead is really important. Baseball, you sometimes can live off the maybe get a guy on, hit a 2-run homer or something, but softball, you really got to push runners, move runners over, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, Brad, I'll let you get a drink if you want. I got to do a quick promo here. You're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, we're visiting with Valley Activities Director Brad Rose. And Brad, let's talk about your current job now. You know, what were some of those challenges you faced when going from Fairfield to Valley?
Well, I came in, you know, I think I tell people this all the time. I'd read a book called, you know, You're in Charge, Now What? You know, and it was about being a CEO and stuff. And I had to kind of, you know, they had Steve Duncan's Hall of Fame, like National Hall of Fame AD, and I was replacing him, and I couldn't be him, you know. So I came in, I did an inventory of all the facilities. You assume when you see Valley Stadium, you assume all the facilities that way. But no, our track was in really bad shape. The baseball field needed dugouts. The weight room was about the size of this office. And they were still turning out, you know, 90 state championships, more than anybody in the state. And yet they were, and I'd really kind of assumed that a lot of those kids were spoiled. And I was wrong. You know, they had really, really successful parents, and they expected their kids to be that way. And there was a nice combination of kids from different walks of life in West Des Moines. And then I had some head coaching jobs that came open, basketball and some of those positions. And now we've really, really solidified those sports and basically facilities. I saw my role as to support the coaches by providing the best facilities we could possibly have. And we've got a new 8,000 square foot weight room. It's not new. It's 6 years old now. We put a new track in 4 years ago, and we've won 3 boys state titles in track the last 3 years. And, you know, we basically have renovated every year. I'm on the second cycle now. We've had a project in every sport. So those challenges, the other challenge is a little more, people talk about culture a lot if you read a lot of different books and stuff. And for me, there was a lot of people living in this one silo. Like, I remember my first year there, we won 5 state titles, and one of the parents was just an awesome lady. She's like, hey, congratulations on your first state title, because soccer, girls soccer won it. And I go, well, this is actually our 4th this year. She didn't realize we'd won boys golf, we'd won swimming. And I was like, we're in the same school. Now, if you were you're at Fairfield, it didn't matter where you lived in the county. You'd have known that we'd won 3 state titles before that, you know, in the same year. And I don't mean that like as – I realized then that first year, man, this is a big place. It's big. People don't even realize because you're – so I've really tried to – make it feel like, try to make it feel smaller, you know, and more. So kids, you know, get to know kids. It's easy to walk through the hall and see a new kid every day. And that's not normal where I'm from originally, you know, and that wasn't normal at Parkview. I knew almost all those kids at Parkview, even though we had a lot of kids at Ankeny too. It just, so the goal is to try to make it feel smaller so people have kids feel attached to their school. I think it's a great thing to play when you're from Fairfield or Mount Pleasant or anywhere you're playing for your hometown. That's a big deal. If, you know, and I want it to be a big deal at Valley too, you know, so I want them to feel like they're playing for not just their school, but their community.
Sure. Well, you mentioned Coach Bakey. He's been there a long time, you know, the football coach. Gary Swenson's a legend over there. I mean, did it help when you arrived to have some of those coaches in place who had such well-established programs?
Absolutely. I've learned from all those men and women that we have in our staff, just so successful, and they work so hard. Especially those two are very regimented in things they do. And what's really interesting is when I did player evaluations, in other words, got feedback from the players on what we could do different, I think a lot of my coaches were apprehensive about that type of feedback. But those two welcomed it. Like, you know, I want to know. I didn't really think about, you know, because they're so used to doing things the way they do it. And all they do is win, you know, so obviously they know everything. Well, that's not necessarily true. And they both embrace that, and all my coaches have embraced that in our activities. I'm the activities director too, so we do the same thing with the fine arts, trying to figure out better ways of reaching all kids, you know. And so, but those two, yeah, it's kind of nice when you come into a job and you really don't have to worry about, you know, you got 23 programs, and okay, these 10 are in pretty good shape already. All of our programs are in good shape, but some you got to help a little. You know, some guys need
right.
help, and we. You know, I had to hire two back-to-back basketball coaches without a teaching job. You know, so I got Jeff Horner to come in for a while, and then now B.J. Windhorst. And those aren't easy jobs to fill when you don't have a teaching job. I mean, you know, and you
right.
want teachers coaching your kids, you know.
Right.
So, anyway, yeah, that's a good point. Those guys were great.
When you mentioned all the state titles that you've won in a variety of sports, you know, over the last decade, is there a favorite memory or two that sticks out of something that you just really enjoyed?
Yeah, I mean – When they won the football title, you know, and we beat Bettendorf in 11, that was pretty cool for me because I'd never been a part of a state football title. I'd always wanted to win one as a player, and we'd gone to the semis when I was in high school a couple different times, got beat by Harlan, and so that was really kind of, you know, and I didn't realize how long a process that really is and how it's impressive when teams do it because it's a grueling long season when you're doing that. And then I really enjoyed the basketball and those kind of things. Last summer, softball went in. I was actually not there. I was at my mom's place in Minnesota because you got about a 1 week window as an AD
right.
to kind of sneak out before the next season, before the next summer or the next school year starts. And so, thank goodness for technology. I was on an iPad sitting around the campfire with my kids watching the Tigers come back and win that game.
Yeah.
And I was like, I felt like I was there. But no, I've. That's a really good question. You know, I believe it or not, there was a couple wins at the stadium in football and one in soccer where we just tremendous games to go to a shootout and qualify for the state tournament, knowing how hard those kids had worked. My first couple years, my office used to be right outside the pool, and all those kids would sit out in the hallway waiting for the coach to come open the pool up, and I would get to know a lot of those kids and then have the girls win the state title my second year. It was pretty cool just to kind of – because you get to know, you know, get to know kids.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, back in March, we all had to deal with some drastic changes when the pandemic hit. The spring high school season was initially postponed and then eventually canceled by the Iowa High School Athletic Association. You know, probably isn't anything in your career that you've ever done that prepared you for this, was there?
I can't say there has been. You know, I've been through every – I went to the FEMA. I took a FEMA class last summer on emergency management, you know, if we have a active shooter or how to set up like for a – you know, like the final was like how to set up for like a bowl game. You're in a fictitious town and you're setting out what are your inner perimeters, outer perimeters. I've been through all that type of training through FEMA and through emergency management situations, the floods, you know, in Des Moines. But no – there's so much unknown. It's stress. It seems like every day there's 100 things that are emergency, You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, and keeping people safe should be my number one priority, which it is. So it makes it puts you a little on higher alert, you know, keeping kids safe and the fans and the umpires and the janitors and doing all that stuff. Are we doing enough? Are we doing too much? You know, last night we had we use a spray that has chlorine in it. Well, kids that are asthmatic can be allergic to that. So you got to be careful. You know, we're spraying the dugouts with this and we're trying not to use bleach. Using other products so you don't get reactions. And, you know, you just never know. You don't want to be – I never want to be the reason somebody's sick or
– Oh, sure.
So, but anyway, it's just – yeah, it's been a lot – there's been a lot of planning. You know, a lot of – that first month was a lot of Zoom meetings and sitting at home, and that was hard. It's hard on my I have an 11-year-old who doesn't learn very well that way. My older child, my son, Jeff, he was fine with the regimen, getting up early, getting his homework done, then having the rest of the day free. He was good at that. My daughter needed the contact. So it's been, and I hope we get it. Hope we get back to face to face.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, there've just been so many moving parts with this thing. I mean, you talked about the spray that you used. I mean, you try to come up with one solution and maybe that just creates another problem. I mean, it's just never ends, does it?
It doesn't. And as a public educator, you know, we it's really important to take care of all kids. You know, it's just like we want to, you know, financially, we don't want to miss any kids. We want to have opportunities for all of our kids. You know, I think something that's, you know, people don't realize is, you know, we got over 30% free and reduced lunch in our district now. And how many kids are we missing because they don't have technology? You know, I mean, so our district works very hard on trying to make sure that opportunities are out there for every kid. And I believe in that. And I think that's one of the things that's, you know, when you said, am I going to stay there? Yeah, that's because I really feel like we're trying to get every kid an opportunity to be in a couple different activities. And COVID is really challenging that because if there's a lot of fear. I delivered meals the last 3 months I've been delivering meals on Mondays and Wednesdays with my daughter's, she's my co-pilot. But we had pretty much the same route the last month and a half. And, you know, we delivered about 65 meals to kids that maybe are expecting that lunch every day from school and don't have it. And it really opened up my daughter's eyes and my son's eyes to, hey, you know, we've got a pretty good life, your mom and I and you and your sister, and we got a nice house. But there are kids living in apartments and maybe single family and mom's working during the day. And, you know, and so it's, you know, you're only a few blocks away from us. And my kids maybe didn't realize that. It's been great.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the summer sports, you know, finally did begin. We're about a month into it now, almost into the final week of the regular season. You know, how are things going? Have your teams adapted well to these changes?
Yeah, having good leadership. Ryan Cooley does a great job, and Tom Bakey, obviously, we've really stressed upon our kids to stay home and stay healthy. I think that's something you and I talked about before the podcast jumped on. I don't think people realize that, you know, if one student gets it on a team, you know, second baseman gets it, the whole team is done for 14 days. Well, that's pretty important now that we're in tournament time, which starts in less than 2 weeks. So somebody gets it on your team, your team's basically out of the tournament. And that's pretty harsh punishment.
Oh, you know? Sure.
And at the same time, it's safety and it's just what you have to do. So we've done a really good job. We've kept our fans. The CIML voted and came up with the policy of 2 tickets per kid, 28 total kids, and I think that's been good. I know it's been frustrating for fans that wanted to come to the games, but to tell you the truth, it's really kept, with all the increase in cases, it's really kept our teams healthy, I think.
Well, looking ahead to the fall a little bit, you know, how confident are you that we can have, you know, maybe a normal fall with the seasons like they would normally be played? Do you think they're going to be able to go off without a hitch?
Well, normal is a really really interesting word now.
It's going to be a new normal.
Yeah, what's normal mean? I think we can play. I do. I think we can figure out a way to play. I don't know that we can keep cases from happening on every team. And so I think the unknown is what's really going to, you know, how long are you out for? So if a football team gets a case or 2 cases and they're out and it's Tuesday or Wednesday, if they're out 14 days, they come back on Thursday, are they going to play that Friday? So you're going to miss 2 games, and then they're going to miss that 3rd game. And are those games a forfeit? How's that work? Because, you know, in football, everybody's going to be worried about the playoffs. How's that affect? You know, if you're the reason that we had to cancel, then does the other team get a we're waiting for guidance on that kind of stuff. But I think we have to look at ways we're practicing too. Maybe the defensive backs never kind of intermingle with the, you know, they got to go against receivers, right? You got to have drills where you go against there, but maybe we don't bring all 110 kids to the same, you know, that'd be new for football. How do you practice separately and in groups? How do you, you can do it though. It's pretty simple in football. I mean, it's pretty, in football, they do a lot of position work, you know? So maybe you keep that group of 10 over there. You know, the guidelines are 10, 8 or 10 or less, you know, if you can get down to 6, and then you're only around those kids all the time, lift with that group. I know it's hard to bring, to have more team camaraderie when you do that. Same thing in volleyball. I mean, eventually all 6 kids have to be on the court at the same time hitting together.
Right,
you know, so
right.
What do you do, you know? But I guess as I say it, I might not don't sound as confident as I should be, but I think, you know, we've got a plan in place right now. We're spraying all the equipment every 45 minutes. We're, you know, there's different theories now on wiping it down versus spraying it down, all that kind of stuff. So we're doing right now, we're on day 2 now of having kids back to school lifting and doing cross country and those kind of things. And I guess we'll see, but I think we can do it. We just gotta, that's where leadership, that's where myself and other people have to, the other CIML ADs, we have to really come together and just stay consistent with our plan. We're not trying to upset fans by limiting you coming, but we do want the games to go on. So if the fans understand that, I think you're going to see a lot of live stream, you know, you'll see a lot of this kind of stuff. Guy like you coming in, helping us out, because that's how people are going to see the games, I think.
Sure. Well, I hope we have games, because that layoff we had in the spring, that was enough. So. Well, Brad, thanks a lot for coming today. Appreciate it, and we'll probably see you around.
Yeah, well, appreciate having you, and I always listen to you guys, and I have fond memories of Ankeny, so I'm always interested in the Hawks and the Jaguars and see what's going on up here.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time homebuyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending in the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 if you have any questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. All right, well, we're hoping to visit as well today with Ankeny AD Andy Unthan and Centennial AD Scott Jarvis, but we had kind of a tight window to work with. I had to take my wife to an appointment in Iowa City this afternoon, and Mr. Jarvis had a meeting this morning, so we were trying to squeeze things in a very tight window, and unfortunately things just did not work out. So we're going to try to reschedule with those gentlemen maybe sometime here in the next few weeks. Between the end of the summer season and the start of the fall, we'll have a lot to talk with those guys. So sorry that we couldn't work that out today. We will try to get those guys back in here in a few weeks, though. Well, whether you're looking for your first home or refinancing your existing loan, Gershman Mortgage has an expert to assist you. They'll help you find the right mortgage to meet your personal needs. When you are buying your starter house, moving to a larger home, aging in place, or looking to refinance, Gershman Mortgage will be there every step of the way. Visit our Ankeny office. You can call 964-5952, or you can visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title, and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at MikeStanbro, that's STANBROUGH, at IowaRealty.com. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.